You're listening to Trek FM.
This episode of To the Journey is brought to you by TrekFan. TrekFan isn't just a Star Trek fan club, it's a challenge. You will explore new places, learn new things, and collaborate with other fans to solve puzzles, complete real-life mission objectives, and win great prizes. To face your first challenge and to find out more, head on over to TrekFan.org.
Maybe it's the journey.
To the journey.
Hello, everybody at home. Welcome to another installment of To the Journey.
To the journey.
I am one of your co-hosts, Charlene Schmidt, and with me, as always, is...
Tristan Riddell and...
Lori Sears.
This week, I think we have a fantastic episode in store for you, because we're going to be talking about what I think are some of the most popular aliens featured in the Voyager series, and that would be the Vidians.
I've been waiting for this one ever since we started the podcast.
Yes, I take it you like them too, because I know I do.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I feel like, I think the main thing that gets me about the Vidians is that no other race, I think, in all of Star Trek, where they're the main focus of the episode, because... I mean, they're featured in about 7 episodes, mentioned in 3, but they're the main focus of 4, and all 4 of those episodes are just great episodes. Like, Phage, where they were introduced, Faces,
oh, yes,
where we see B'Elanna get split with her 2 halves,
oh,
Life,
yeah,
Signs with...
Dinara Pell.
Dinara Pell, thank you. And then you have Deadlock, where, like, I guess they just like splitting things into 2 halves. But like B'Elanna, Voyager is split into 2 separate entities, and they're just some of the best episodes in Voyager. And I think the Vidians are a big part of why.
Absolutely, you make a really good point. They made the Vidians a really good enemy, gave them good stories, and that's why we're still talking about them today.
Mm-hmm.
I think Who's they that? Get looked over a lot. Like, when people think about, like, oh, what are some of the best bad guys in Star Trek? And that, like, all of Star Trek, people say Klingons, Romulans, Borg. But no one ever talks about the Vidians. Now, granted, they're not featured anywhere near as much as those 3 that I just previously mentioned.
No.
But in terms of average... like quality of episode, like it's I think it's much higher than everybody else.
Yeah, definitely. And especially in these earlier Voyager seasons, they really took the cake on some of those episodes. Like you mentioned, Faces, that is such a superb B'Elanna story. We would have not had that without the Vidian splitting her literally in 2.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, it's good stuff.
Yeah. And like you were talking about earlier on the other side of the room, that there's so much continuity with the Vidians that that we see them all throughout. I mean, what are some of your favorite mentions, Char?
Okay, I think my favorite is in Think Tank, where we find out the fate of the Vidians. We find out that they cured the Phage. And Jason Alexander's character says, you wouldn't recognize them anymore, or something to that effect, which, you know, kind of makes you believe that they returned to their state before the Phage started infecting them, because they were a very advanced and peaceful and incredible race of people. So I'm thinking the Vidians are just having this renaissance now of new life, and I'm happy for them.
Yeah, totally.
So, Lori, how about you?
I think when we first got introduced to them in Phage, it was just like, I was kind of blown away by, first of all, the makeup that they used on these guys.
Yes.
I mean, they were like skin quilts or something like that.
That's really good.
It
I
really
like
looked like that. And just the fact that you got this backstory on these people who were, like you said, they were artists, they were musicians, they were really smart, intelligent people, and then they'd focus everything about themselves on curing this disease, because they were dying left and right. And so you see these two guys, and I thought that was really a cool job that the one guy had. I think it was pronounced Honata. He went out and found organs for somebody else.
Right.
The guy's name was Dereth, and he was the Honata for Motura. I think that was how you said his name.
They had interesting names.
Yeah, they really did. And just the fact that they had that awesome weapon, too, that was just like,
oh, yeah.
Bam!
The zapper thing.
I've got your lungs. Bye-bye.
If I could have one phaser, it would probably be that one, just because it's a tricorder, transporter, and phaser all in one.
Yes.
And
yeah, talk about a multitasker. That's amazing.
And surgical tool.
That's right.
Yes, yes.
And I just think that's fantastic. And it completely makes sense. I mean, these guys have been dealing with the disease for 2,000 years.
Yeah.
What do you think is going to be the most advanced technology in their society? It's going to be medical technology.
Definitely.
Yeah, and out of necessity.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just like when we go to war, we build some amazing machines. Amazing war machines.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's just, and I love that they applied that principle. And Lori, I love that you brought up their makeup. we can't talk about the Vidians without talking about their makeup.
Absolutely. It is really cool because it's unique on each different person.
Yes. Totally.
And I love that because they mention how the phage kind of affects everybody just a little bit differently. I mean, it doesn't always go for, say, the lungs first or the heart first.
Mm-hmm.
It's some weird progression where it just slowly takes over you and turns you into what looks like this monster.
Yeah.
I remember thinking, I wish I could see them more closely so I could tell maybe... where did that piece come from? Like, what alien did that come from? You got some Kazon hair going on there. Yeah.
Now, that would have been amazing. Like, if they took Kazon's scalp.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Who would take that, though, really?
You'd have to be
would take their scalp?
Well, at least we know where Sulan's face came from, and that was Durst.
Oh, yes. That is.
In faces.
God. What a moment there. Wasn't that up for an award, or did it even win an award?
Oh, faces?
For makeup? Yes.
Yes.
You know, I'm not quite sure.
But if it wasn't nominated, it needed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was one heck of a makeup job. That's the guy's actual face, the actor.
It was nominated.
And it looks like, was it nominated? Okay.
We should be happy, though, because it lost to another... Star Trek show. It lost to Deep Space Nine.
Okay, which episode?
Distant Voices.
Hmm.
Okay.
Oh, wait, that's right. That's the one where... I hate this. Okay, Distant Voices was a horrible episode, and the only reason why it won is because of Bashir's old man makeup.
Aww.
Oh, really?
Like, you remember that episode where he's slowly turning into an old man?
Yes, I remember now.
Yes.
Okay, that one over Durst?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That,
Old people makeup always wins over aliens for some reason.
Why? Maybe because it's old people making the votes. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, I remember freaking out when I was a kid when I saw that.
Oh, my God.
Like, seeing Durst's face on it. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a heck of a job. That took some demented visionary projection there.
And I remember Tora saying Durst's name weird, like it was all Klingon version.
Yeah. Durst.
Like she was she was speaking through the teeth. Like, you killed Durst.
You know who she sounds like with those teeth is Shelley on South Park, Stan's sister.
You turned.
But
you did my room.
I'm never going to be able to watch Faces again without thinking.
I'm sorry.
Shelly is like getting split in two by Durst. Like,
hey, if Trey Parker and Matt Stone are listening, there is a reference you need to make for an episode.
They're big Star Trek fans, so they're like, "You killed Durst, you turge."
Yeah, I want to see Shelly split in two. We've not seen Shelly on the series for a long time on South Park.
Not in a while.
So
yeah,
get on that.
Anyway, back to Star Trek.
Yes. It was a fun little tangent, though. So, you know, one thing that I really like about the Vidians, guys, that I think really got sold short on the Kazon, is the fact that the Vidians were crafted to be very good enemies because they had a reason to do the horrible things that they did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did.
They had to kill people to survive. It was all out of self-preservation. They had no other choice except to just be killed off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which some would argue is the choice to make.
Maybe, true. But you know what? I mean, I don't think humans are any better than the Vidians. I think at our wit's end, we would do anything to stay alive too.
Well, I think that might be a reference of the times, because I believe that 24th century humans are better than that.
That's true.
But like today, yes, absolutely. Like if we were faced with that, you know that there would be some missing homeless people.
Yeah. You know, that would probably eradicate homelessness altogether, don't you think?
Yes. It's total Soylent Green kind of thing going on.
Yeah. Yeah. That, you know, it's kind of scary in a way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But think about what would happen, say, if this sort of process was manifest in a disease like AIDS or even cancer. Or we get to a point where we need organ donors so bad that we start taking the living.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Scary. We would turn out like the Vidians. I think that's what Star Trek was showcasing. Yeah.
That's the idea. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So
I wondered about that. Like, who is this guy, this Motura guy? Was he some rich guy so he could go hire somebody to go find these organs for him? Is that what that guy's job was? I wondered, since he said he was a sculptor, so he's some artist who can just kick it, you know, not have to... This other guy can just go out and do all the hard work for him. What about the poor Vidian? Is sitting back there on Vidia Prime. Hmm.
Are there poor Vidians?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. We didn't get very
much
of that
question.
Story.
Yeah, we don't know much about their economics, but if they have a two-tiered system like ours, I'm sure, you know, it's, you know, exactly what you'd think. The poor get poorer and the rich get richer, or the rich able to survive, and then the classes just die out.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. That would have been an interesting thing to explore, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Could have gone into some more depth with them.
I think it would have been interesting, but at the same time, I'm okay with the exposure that we got of the Vidians. I feel like it was just right, because we didn't get sick of them. Mm-hmm. They weren't overused, and I feel like having that little bit of mystery there every once in a while keeps the fear going.
That's true. You make a good point.
That's just my opinion, you know, like it's...
No, that is good, because there does need to be a little bit of mystery to make an enemy scary, because you just don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah.
So that makes a lot of sense. I can go with that.
Now, the first time that we saw them, I feel like their introduction was one of the best introductions of a new race, because it was, we saw their purpose, we saw their actions, we saw the worst of them right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no need for any crazy exposition except for when they got captured, when they're like, this is why we're doing what we're doing. But we got to see it firsthand before there was an explanation.
Right. Yeah. Somebody took Neelix's lungs.
Exactly. I love that they didn't like show up in a ship and they're like, oh yeah, we're having this happen to us. Here's our entire life story. And that's why we're about to attack you. I like that. It was
that happens with a lot of aliens. It does.
It really does.
Star Trek. That's true. Yes, that was a good introduction, because we don't know who took Neelix's lungs at first. And I love Janeway's speech at the end of that episode, where she really doesn't have much choice but to let them go. But she is not happy about it, that's for sure.
I feel like we got some great quotes in this one. Like, we have Neelix talking about Tom. He's like, he's just one big hormone walking around the ship.
Yeah.
This is true. We do get some great lines in this one, don't we? That's one of them.
Yeah. Like, and the doctor saying, don't worry, I'm not going to kiss you. I'm only adjusting the restraint.
Yeah. Because yeah. I'm sure Neelix was worried about that.
I'm sure he was. You need to redecorate.
It's a holographic love, doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You need to redecorate this sick bay. You can start with the ceiling.
That's right. It's appalling.
So great.
Yes, yes, I do love that.
And we've talked a lot about life signs before in the past, just because it's such a great episode. I mean, like we see a plight. In the Phage, we see the plight of an individual, and we kind of Well, it's actually kind of a generic response to the masses. Like, this is what everybody's going through.
Yeah.
And in Faces, we see, like, the crazy experiments that they're willing to do. And in Life Signs, we see in Life Signs, we see the individual. We see a unique story that's applicable just to her and possibly many others. But, like, we get to see it, and it's the first real love interest for the Doctor. And it's just everything mixed together. And it's just fantastic.
And we get to we get to see what a Vidian looks like without all these issues and problems.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Exactly.
Yes, that's very true. Yeah. And underneath all that grotesque transformation, there is a beautiful lady underneath. And I love the message of that story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And I mean, you could pretty much just go back to any episode to the journey, and you'll hear something about Tanara Pell.
We'll rave about Life Signs and Faces, definitely. But another good one that we mentioned at the very top of the show, Deadlock.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about Deadlock, because that's so good.
I think when I was growing up, Voyager is was the first Star Trek show that I said, okay, I'm going to tape every single episode and have a collection. Like, I had a library, I wrote it down when I recorded it, what the episode name was, and so I was like, okay, tape 15, and then here's the episode listing, so I could like go back to that tape and then watch whatever. Deadlock was probably the episode that I rewatched the most growing up.
Okay, not just season 2. Growing up, just period.
Wait, what right? do you mean?
Meaning, as we went into further seasons, you were still watching Deadlock quite a bit.
Oh, yeah. For the entire run, I feel like even up until, like, season 6 and season 7, like, I would go back and, like, I would, all the time, I would just go to my bin. I had a bin just full of VHS tapes of Voyager, and I would just pick one randomly and throw it in and watch it, and then those would be, like, the 6 episodes I'd watch that weekend or whatever, but all the time I'd be like, I hope this is the Deadlock tape.
Yeah, well, do you guys remember our very first episode where we talked about wearing out our VHS tapes?
Yes, I do.
I think one of the very first ones that I really did wear out, like the VCR actually broke it. Deadlock was on that tape.
Yep.
As was Resolutions, where we do see Dinara Pell again. But that's a side note. I was so sad because I absolutely love Deadlock. When I do a rewatch of Voyager, that one is always a favorite. I'm more than happy to watch it for the upteenth time. Yeah. I don't get tired of it. It's so good.
It is good.
I love it. Lori, what do you like about it?
I was just writing down some things. I like the end where they just show up on the bridge and she's like, welcome to the bridge, pow, and everything explodes.
Yes.
I love their cool weapons that they have too. I don't know. I don't remember. I didn't write down what their weapons were, but they were so like amazingly strong. And then they had those claw things that came out and like grabbed the ship. That was really cool.
Oh, yeah.
That was like some Transformer Spider-Man wacky kind of crap that just it was just amazing.
I remember when Enterprise came out and they didn't have a tractor beam, they had what were those things called? I can't remember what they're called. It's escaping me right now, but it's the same kind of
a grappling hook kind of
like the grappler, I think maybe that's what it's called. But it, like right when the first time I saw it, I was like, oh, it's just like the Vidians. Except nowhere near as powerful.
Yeah,
but it works apparently. It's a good technique, I suppose.
Yeah, I just like that was the coolest ending. Pow, that was it.
Yeah.
Welcome
to the bridge.
Great Janeway moment. And thanks to the Vidians.
Yeah.
Because they definitely, they wreaked some havoc on Voyager, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And this was one of our first alternate Harry Kims.
Yes.
One of the first of many, yes. And an ensign, or not ensign, but a little baby Naomi Wildman, who was at that point unnamed. But that doesn't seem to be as much of a focus for her as it is on Harry. So I'm not sure why that is, but it's the truth.
Yeah.
Maybe no one told her.
You think?
Have you thought about that?
You think Samantha Wildman just doesn't want to acknowledge that and ever tell her?
Yeah, like, why would you tell? Like, you're actually an alternate universe baby. It's really only a difference of, like, a couple of hours, but you're still an alternate. So don't feel like you're misplaced in this universe, okay? You know, like, I don't want to have that conversation, and I'm sure Samantha doesn't. I mean, they don't even want to, like, parents don't even want to talk about sex, let alone explain alternate realities.
Well, and I guess the point of it all is what you going to do about it?
Exactly.
No, nothing. Can't do anything about that.
You're dead in the other universe, Naomi, so it's not like you can even go back and switcheroo yourself or something to that effect. It's done. Deal with it.
Now, Char, do you think that we should talk a little bit about the episodes where they're not the main focus, but they are featured?
I think so, because one cool thing about the Vidians is that we don't see them for the first two seasons and then they're gone. We get some mention of them throughout the rest of the series. Like, for instance, just even in season 3, they're in Coda. Janeway mentions, oh, I thought we were beyond their space, and turns out it's all in her mind, but they're killing her inside her mind, so they exist there.
Yeah.
What are some other ones?
Resolutions with the monkey.
Well, of course, yeah, that's season 2.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, we also get a mention in Fury, which could have been a great episode. But
could have been.
Could have been. Where Kes says, I will give you the Voyager crew if you take me back to Ocampa. And she was talking to the Bedeans. And yeah, Coda wasn't a good episode. Fury wasn't a good episode. Mm-mm. But that's why I like that the first four that we mentioned, the Bedeans are the main focus. So where they're the main focus, it's a great episode.
Yes. We need to make that distinction.
Yes.
Yes.
But I'm with you. I think my favorite reference to the Vidians is in Think Tank. Because even though they're the villains and they're great villains, at the same time, when you hear that they're doing well, you're kind of like, good for them.
Yeah, exactly. You're happy for them.
Yeah. It's weird because you also know that they're not going to hurt anybody else.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I think that's it.
It's like a relief.
Well, yeah.
Good. Keep to yourself.
And it also means Dinara is feeling better too. I feel like that's
a big payoff.
We can
only hope, right?
Yeah.
We can only hope that she made it.
Yeah.
You know, one cool thing would have been to somehow find out that she was, in fact, alive and well and doing awesome things with her renewed life.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah.
Yes. But even so, it was still good just to even get what we did get, knowing that the think tank solved their problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So,
very cool stuff.
Was there anything that you guys didn't like about the Vidians? I mean, we've talked for 20 minutes about how much we love them. And but has there been anything that you guys didn't like or something that you might change?
Oh. Well, you know, when I prepared for this podcast, I didn't even think about that, which is
I know,
strange.
It didn't even come to come to my brain until right now because I don't think there is a thing that I dislike about them.
Yeah, I honestly really cannot think of anything. A lot of times I can find some sort of criticism with anybody, certainly with the Kazon, with the Hirogen, whoever, but I really do like the Vidians. I have no complaints. What about you?
Yeah, I think you mentioned earlier that we could empathize with them, and I feel like that's key when you have a bad guy, is that you need to somewhat understand their reasoning. I mean, when you look at like the Klingons with the Praxis situation, or you look at the Bynars in TNG, you also look at the Krennim.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like granted he was a megalomaniac.
Ooh, yeah.
He was a little out of his brain, but you could understand his reasoning. And with all great bad guys and all great episodes, I mean, the Vidians are no different. I think the only thing that I could potentially change, and this is really just kind of nitpicking, maybe not nitpicking, but in Think Tank, like we said, they mentioned that they're doing much better. I almost was like, maybe the Voyager could have been involved with that. Like, maybe there could have been some sort of redemption, and the Voyager just did one last good deed before they left the Delta Quadrant to kind of help with all of the damage that they've kind of caused. I don't know, but I'm not saying that that would have been the best move. I'm just saying it would have been interesting to see. I am in no way criticizing the writers for what they did with the Vidians.
So, pretty much, I mean, we've just said they're about as perfect of a villain as you can get. I certainly think they were one of the stronger villains in all of Star Trek. They didn't get quite the spotlight they deserved, but as you said, they were only really featured in 4 episodes. So they didn't get quite as much time for exploration as the Klingons or the Romulans or any of the other enemies we love to hate.
Right.
So before we wrap up, do we have any more final thoughts that we want to spout out about the Vidians?
To any future writers who want to do anything about either disease or how it affects a culture, or when, if there's ever going to be a new Star Trek show and you need a good blueprint on how to create a great menacing bad guy, which you can also empathize, watch these episodes and you will have a great idea of where to start.
Yeah, I think you said it best right there.
All right. Sounds good to me.
All right. Well, before we go, Ashar, I think we have a 5-star review.
We do. We got another one. Last week we had 3, and then we've got another one, just the icing on the cake to topple it off. We have a 5-star review from 49er Faithful, and I love that name. It's great. And
I wonder if he's a football fan. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe just a tad. So thank you very much, 49er Faithful, for your 5-star review on iTunes. Thank you for taking the time to sing our praises. We definitely appreciate it. And also, before we go, let's mention our sponsor, TrekFan.org. Solve the puzzle that is on the front page when you go to that website. And from there, you're going to get into the heart of what TrekFan.org is really about. You will join other fans in solving puzzles. You have the chance to win prizes. And you're going to have a blast doing it. So check that out. Next week, we are going to go on shore leave.
Woo!
Yes, we're taking a bye, people. So please do not be concerned if we're gone. But do not worry. We will be back the week after that.
That's right. We're just taking the Delta Flyer out for a little spin. We'll be back. No problems, rest assured. Chakotay is not piloting the shuttle. Promise. So I think we're going to be okay. We'll be back. And until then, this has been To the Journey.
To the Journey!